In the name of the one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Wow, we have a deeply troubling story on our hands this morning. We hear that God tests Abraham through what seems like a divine case of child abuse. There is no easy way around this one. I have come to wonder, though, in the midst of this story, which has many troubling aspects and some confusing ones as well. For instance, God knows that Isaac isn't Abraham's only son. What is he talking about? I have come to wonder, though, when we think about Abraham's test, what the test actually was. I mean, was it to see, the way I grew up believing, was it to see if Abraham would actually sacrifice his son? Would Abraham go this far to prove his faith in this God? Maybe. As I've wrestled with the text this week, though, I have come to wonder if the test might not have been something else. What if? Entertain this with me. What if God wants to know whether Abraham will argue back, whether Abraham will resist? I'm certainly not the only one who has looked at the text or begun to look at the text in this way. God already knows. God already knows full well that Abraham has no problem arguing with God. For example, when he's told that his wife is going to have a child, he talks back. When God threatens to destroy a city because of the extreme injustice it practices, Abraham has a long argument with God about it. Yet here, this morning, Abraham does not utter a peep. Right from the beginning of God's request for the sacrifice of Abraham's son, and all along that 3-day journey to do it, we don't hear a word of protest or hesitation from Abraham's lips. This is troubling for sure. Oh, and what kind of God tests a person by asking a father to kill his son? Actually, it seems like this happened often. In certain religious traditions at the time, gods did this plenty. Child sacrifice did happen during Abraham's time and Abraham's geographical context. In order to appease or appeal to people's gods. And so I wonder if God is testing Abraham to see if he is still so immersed in the wider culture, one that includes child sacrifice. God is testing Abraham to see if he will even question the command. Maybe God is waiting to get pushback in order to gauge, in a way, if Abraham understands that God's way is different from the ways of all those other gods. To see if Abraham has come to a point where he understands that the God, capital G, he serves, is not just one of the gods, small g. To see if Abraham truly understands, if he has gotten it, if he gets it, that this is not a God of human sacrifice. This is not a God of death, but the God of life. If so, then Abraham has failed the test, it would seem. And if that's true, as Abraham fails that test, God uses this. God uses this as a terrible, though teachable, moment. And God's last-minute intervention is a definitive answer to the question of who this God is. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. I wonder if God's command to sacrifice Isaac was a drastic, a startling way to get the point across. The point that the sacrifice of human life was absolutely unacceptable to God, and that God's people were called to a different way of living, a different way of being. There is a saying, and I cannot place where I heard it. I think it's a saying. I tried to Google it, I couldn't find it. But I think there is a saying to the effect of, God shouts. God shouts when we do not heed God's whisper. Might this be God's shout? Or something akin to God's paternal pulling of the ear to Abraham and to the faith traditions that will come from him? A definitive, a declarative shout. It certainly has gotten my attention. Maybe I am too hard on Abraham, though. I could be. I mean, Abraham is a giant of the faith. Not just for Christianity, of course, but for Judaism and Islam. Maybe Abraham doesn't argue because he fully believes that God would never allow him to kill his son. Maybe Abraham does not talk back to God because he really understands God's commitment to life. Maybe Abraham can lead Isaac up the mountain because he never doubts what this God truly desires of him, and he knows that God will make a way, that there's a bigger picture behind the literal words that God speaks to him. Even so, poor Isaac. Unless, I would entertain this possibility as well, unless Isaac is in on this too in some way. That Isaac, maybe he trusts his father like his father trusts God, believing that there is a bigger picture behind what seems to be on the surface. If this is true in some way, then this is God and Abraham, maybe even Isaac, shouting together through this dramatic, disturbing event. To make it known clearly, this God is a God who gives life, not one who takes it. God shouts when we do not heed God's whisper. Sometimes God does have to shout. I wouldn't say that God does this often. Most often, I believe we hear whispers from God, or there's conversation, but we're using our inside voices. But sometimes more drastic steps need to be taken. Sometimes God shouts. Sometimes Jesus has to overturn a table or two, or bring that proverbial sword. We might hear God shouting now through the earth and her climate, like the first 100 degree day ever recorded within the Arctic Circle. We might hear God shouting now through the earth because certain groups on this planet have not listened to God's whispers. Sometimes when God shouts through us. I believe that I have been hearing God shouting for weeks, right here on the corner of Union and County Streets, just a couple blocks away. I believe that I've been hearing God shouting a lot all across the nation in protest of the still unreckoned white sin of structural racism, the literal and figurative child sacrifices of our country's past and present. Sometimes God does have to give us a parental pull of the ear. I wonder if we've been seeing this as well these past weeks. Is God involved, perhaps? Is God involved, perhaps, in toppling those statues? Literal, concrete statues which honor oppression? You may disagree, I'd understand it if you do. But please just stay with me. Stay with me for a few moments. Because there is a history behind these monuments. A history quite different than the whitewashed one attempting to tell us that they are in homage to something else. Let us reflect together for a moment. Reflect on the fact that most of these statues were placed decades after the Civil War. The placement of the statues, they peaked in the early 1900s, maybe starting in the very, very late 1800s, peaking at 1910. They peaked as the North allowed reconstruction of the South to fail. They peaked as the Jim Crow era began. Jim Crow law, with a series of laws designed specifically, intentionally, to disenfranchise and subjugate black people. Of course, white people wrote those laws. These monuments were an extension of that movement, intertwined with it. The erection of the statues peaked as both lynchings and the KKK grew. This, my friends, is not a coincidence. They were put up, they were placed intentionally in order to reassert control over former slaves and their descendants. They were placed specifically as public memorials to unrepentant white supremacy. Public memorials to the institution of slavery. Public memorials to a romanticized and sanitized version of the Confederacy. And they went up with little to no public process, little to no public input, some even using public funds. So the very process of placing them further marginalized black people in these same communities while they colonized public space. After that decade or two long peaking in 1910 and then gradually going back down, there was another peak. It peaked again, a smaller peak, not coincidentally during the civil rights movement, as physical symbols of anti-blackness and terror, specifically when black people and their allies were rallying and fighting and risking their lives and martyrdom, for racial justice, these monuments peaked again. Again, placed by white people, again, accompanied by massive white violence against black people and anyone who would stand with them in solidarity. Is it God, then, if we reckon truly with the history of these Confederate monuments, is it God, then, who might be toppling these idols, these unlawful idols to injustice placed throughout our country? Is it God, then, who might be doing this through the hands and the righteous anger of people in the streets? Reflect on this. I do believe that God is shouting in this moment, and we can and should be open to God shouting through us. Of course, this isn't the whole picture. Of course not. God also seeks, always and everywhere, to give that cool cup of water that Jesus speaks about. This is never more true. It is not just in the shouting that God uses us. It still is very much in the little things, or the seemingly little things that truly are so very significant. In our current moment, now, here, that proverbial cup of cold water, it could look like supporting the protests in different ways. That proverbial cup of cold water, it could look like further educating ourselves. It could look like having tough conversations with family and friends. Or donating to causes for true racial justice. And that cup of cold water, it still means those acts of compassion. Truly it does. Those acts of generosity, empathy, loving kindness, that is all still true. During this time, during this moment, we may be allowing God to shout through us, overturning shrines to violence and enslavement, or literally shouting on the street corner. We might be allowing God to give those cups of cool water through our own hands. God uses it all, every little bit. But let us remember that this is the time for it. This is the time. Amen.